like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus, coming to you by however you're receiving us. I pray that all has been well with you. Things seem to be upgoing for us, and we have our problems like everyone else, but God be with us, and He helps us through all of our crises and keeps us safe from all the harms and dangers because of His grace. And we thank God for the grace of God, and we just know that by His grace we are saved through faith in the precious blood of Jesus, and we look to Him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank those that have wrote to us from the broadcast and pray that things go well with you, that God will bless and intercede on your request for prayer. And as we do pray for you, and we hope that God will answer your request and give you the peace of mind that you need and supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. We thank you again. And we pray that God's will be done in your life as well as in ours, and keeping the faith that was issued to us by the grace of God. And we pray that God will be done in all of our lives according to His riches and glory. So here's my wife now with something other. I want you to understand that through Paul's ministry, we have this gospel because he was chosen of God to bring the gospel unto the Gentiles, the gospel of grace through Jesus Christ. So here's my wife.
Well, praise the Lord. I consider it an honor again to be able to lift up the name of Jesus. He's the only name that can save you from your sins. And He's the only one that you can go to for help. But I want to share with you this afternoon, Paul the Apostle. Paul was educated, indoctrinated, dedicated, and consecrated long before he was regenerated. He possessed talent, acquired ability, and qualified as a religious leader. He was pious, but did not praise God. He was religious, but not holy. He was convicted of sin at a street meeting and converted by Jesus on the Damascus Road. With his madness turned to gladness, he became the greatest missionary evangelist of all times. He had no church board behind him, but he had the Rock of Ages beneath him. He was never elected to the general board of the church, but he was a charter member of the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Christ was his credentials, repentance his theme, and heaven his goal. He was a traitor to Judaism, a jailbird in Philippi, and an outcast in Rome. He was an alarmist, a calamity howler, a revival enthusiast, and a strong street preacher. He was misunderstood, mistreated, and on several occasions considered a misfit. He could boast of but one call, and that to a mission field. All other campaigns conducted were the result of being led. Education did not inflate him, nor did humility degrade him. He had education with egotism, dignity without formality, courtesy without compromise, and politic without politics. He was calm and confident, free from fret and a bondman of Christ. He was reasonable yet inflexible. He exposed national, local, and individual sins. He renounced his own sins in every form, denounced worldliness of every fashion, and pronounced holiness without favoritism. He preached against the wearing of gold, pearls, and costly array, and earnestly contended for the once delivered faith. He preached long hair for the women and short hair for the men. He was cursed by religious and civic alike, yet he was owned and blessed by God. He lacked personality, poise, and pulpit etiquette, yet he blasted out many of the apostolic churches and wrote much of the New Testament. He blistered sin and insisted on the death route. Some thought him a god, while others thought him demon-possessed. His evangelistic efforts were marked by the power and demonstration of the Spirit. He readily adjusted to God's providential dealings and died in victory. The rugged warrior of the cross has made a permanent impression on the lives of us all. We are deeply indebted to him for the message of full salvation. He was a great evangelist, yet I wonder if he were here today, would any church want him for a revival? Something to think about, your brother Earl.
Amen. Paul was a man that well known in the Jewish community. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he thought he was top notch, and some of them thought he was too, until he met up with a man called Jesus on the road to Damascus. He heard some of the apostles, no doubt, preaching that Jesus was Lord. He heard them bring forth the gospel, but in his own knowledge, you know, that he had learned about the law, just would not let him accept salvation through Jesus Christ. Many of the high priests at that time brought forth that Jesus was something other than what he was. They persecuted him to no limit and so on and so forth. And so Paul was persuaded by the high priest of those and everything, and was given authority to arrest anybody that was teaching or preaching in the name of Jesus. My friends, we have often run across others, as well as myself from time to time, has been made fun of because we stood for that wonderful name of Jesus. Paul was one that brought forth first there the persecution of them that called on the name of Jesus, and he brought them up, and he had them thrown in jail. He had stood by and there when they were stoning Stephen's and minded the cloak while they done it, and heard Stephen calling upon the name of the Lord and asking him to not delay the charge that they were stoning him against them. But my friend, today we learned that Paul, not just today, but we have learned by reading and the scriptures and studying some, that we learned that Paul come to the knowledge of the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ, not because Cornelius or some of those well-known teachers of that day taught him about it, but he was taught by a revelation of Jesus Christ. Many people today have persecuted me, or might look down their nose or whatever you say, because I have not been to a Bible school and all of these things like that. My friend, I worked 7 years old hard and didn't have time for sports and these things like that. And I don't have much communication with them in their football games and so on and so forth of that nature, because I know nothing about it. I'm persuaded to put aside those things and seek after the kingdom of God to the best of my ability and by the leading of the Spirit. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the whole, as much as I can possibly know about my Savior Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that can give me life eternal, as well as you or anyone else. No one else can. There's no man living or walks in a pair of shoes or put his foot on God's earth that can save you from your sins except Jesus Christ. I don't care who he is, where he come from, or what he claims to be, or what authority he claims to have, or so on and so forth. If he claims that he can forgive you of your sins, he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. So therefore, the devil has come along with his things that brought people into this thing that they are somebody great. Paul thought he was. He thought he was somebody doing the whole thing that he was learned to do and taught to do. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and they were against even to the resurrection of the dead. They was against many of the things that which Jesus taught. And many other things there. And Paul was against these things until he met up on the road to Damascus one day, a great light that shone around about him and those with him, and they fell to the ground. So Paul then was wanting to question, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus, of whom thou persecuted. It's hard to kick against the pricks. And I know, my friends, I've mentioned these things before, but I want you to understand that we live our life today, and this high education is prominent around most of the people and everything. But Paul was educated. He was a wealthy man is in the set that he was in there at that time, and he well knew the law, but he knew nothing of the grace of God. That's why he persecuted it. And some of these high-educated preachers out there that preaching, they declare this and declare that unto you, that God's going to bless you tremendously, and they can get people to think that, well, I give them so much, and they'll get these blessings. I've heard it, my friend, and you have too. But be aware of these false teachers. Jesus told us about that, and the apostles warned us about they would come, even making merchandise of your soul. They either got something to sell, or you can't get it without a love offering of so much money, and so on and so forth. You can't buy it at a store, but you can't get it except you order it from them, and they want so much and whatever. Well, it's a money game, my friend. Jesus came into this world and died for sinners such as I and you and all that would believe upon him, and salvation is free. It costs us nothing but the sins of the world and the sins of our lives. All we need to do is repent and accept the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ and believe in the atoning price that he paid, that his life that he gave, the blood that he gave, it wasn't took from him. He willingly gave it. Even though in the Garden of Gethsemane he prayed, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He came into this world knowingly, because God knows all things, knowingly that he was destined to go to the cross and die for yours and my sins. He likewise died for Paul and them back in them days, as well as he has for you and I in the days that we live. High education has taught that you can be a god of your own. You can make your own decisions. You can live your life as you so desire and everything. Common sense, my friend, tells you that the inner man, or the man, outward man rather, cannot live and let a life full and abundantly for God except he be born again. There's no way that this old man born in sin and shaped in iniquity in the flesh can please God except he be born again. Paul found that out on the road to Damascus when he learned that he was fighting against the very thing, the very one that came to give him salvation and to save him from his onslaught that he had against Christian believers. He found out that through Jesus Christ was his only hope when he come to know him, and when he come to the understanding, and when he said, who art thou? He said, I am Jesus, of whom thou persecuted. It's hard. My friend, it's hard for you to go against the word of God. You may think it's all right, but sooner or later, you're going to come face to face with reality. And that's going to be the reality of God's saving grace, as Paul did. He thought he was doing everything right, thought he was doing the right thing because the high priest had sanctioned all these things, because they were against Jesus to start with. If you recall back how they hollered out louder than anybody else to crucify him, when Pilate was willing to let him go by just scourging him and let him go, and said he found no fault in him, but they found fault in him because it was they felt a threat to them and their way of life. which it was because he called him to repent. As you know that Nicodemus, he told him, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God was standing there before him. And he said, marvel not that I say that you must be born again of the water and the spirit, or you in no wise enter therein. Many of the Pharisees came to him to ask him questions about this and questions about that. And he stood there to them, and they asked him, told him when the Messiah comes, he will lead and teach us all truth and everything. He said, and except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Well, that just threw them boys a curve right there, because they thought they were so religious and everything. Religion ain't going to get it, honey. Salvation cometh from God alone through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You can be religious over anything of the world's good. Some people are religious over their ornaments they got hanging on the Christmas tree. They got to think that that's going to show their love towards God by doing all these things and celebrating his birthday. Well, his birthday wasn't on the 25th day of December to start with, so it's a pagan holiday. And Easter, he didn't tell Mary Magdalene to go and tell his apostles that he go before him, he'd meet him in Galilee, but on their way there to boil some eggs and color them and bring forth some of all this here stuff. He just merely didn't bring all that in, but yet and still these traditional things that paganism has brought into through in the church. And the Bible teaches that Jesus told him, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that is not the gospel, my friend. It's paganism. It's a false teaching. He was warned to beware of these things. And I've been ridiculed and persecuted and put out of some of the churches because I do not participate in those kind of styles. I don't believe in Christmas trees and ornaments and things and egg hunting on Easter. It was a day that God was born, and it makes no reference to what day it was. But it definitely was not in December, I don't believe, because the shepherds was in the field at night watching over their flock. And at this time of the year, in December the 25th, I'm persuaded to believe they're going to be in the barn standing by the fire. And they're not going to be out in the field in the middle of the night watching over the sheep. My friend, it's got reasonably plain, common, ordinary horse sense will teach you that these things are not possibly in God's plan of salvation. But because of false teachings and because of this and that and high education and teaching of man, teaching people how to preach the gospel to soothe the ear by the tickling of the ear with a fair speech and a smooth tongue, they won a lot of people into the congregation. But how many did they win for the kingdom of God into real salvation? It's hard to say. I've often heard people say that they had a revival going on in several of the stadiums around about across the nation and everything. 60 and 30 and 40 and 50,000 people gave their heart to the Lord. They raised a hand and said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I asked God one time, I said, Lord, if all these people really surrendered unto you, where's all the Christians gone and where's all these devils come from? My friend, today it just simply don't work that way. It's being honest before God, repenting and accepting the atoning price that he paid, the blood of Jesus, and raising your hand and repeating after some other man is not from the heart, it's just from the lips. And you cannot serve God with just your lips. You got to come from your heart. Your salvation cometh through believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul did when he believed and he was got up blinded. He was led to the way called straight in Damascus there. And Ananias was a prophet of God, was told to go and pray for him because he prayeth and the scales from his eyes fell. And Ananias didn't want to, and many preachers today, they don't want to do the gospel. They don't want to do what God says do, so they mealy-mouth around, and they do it some other way, and they gain wealth and so on and so forth. But what's good it's going to do if it's not in God's plan? They'll throw it in that bat holes with the bats and do them no good. But my friend, Paul was there, at Damascus waiting upon Ananias. Didn't know that Ananias, but Ananias come to him and he said, Paul, that you came by the way there, and the God of our God sent me here, in other words, in my words, to pray for him. And he scales fell from his eyes. Paul didn't go immediately to the church and offer up them and say, sanction me in to preach the gospel. Didn't give me credentials to go and preach the gospel and these things like this. But he went and was persecuted by many that thought that it was still old Paul. But my friend, when he went out into the Arabia, out into a desert place, and he got the revelation of Jesus Christ, the grace of God through the spring to the Gentile nation, and therefore it didn't go by anything. And Paul goes into Galatians there in 1 and 12, I believe, said that he didn't learn it from man. Man didn't give it to him, but it came by the grace of God and by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It taught him of the things that which in he needed to know, and he was led by the Spirit, not by man, but he was led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was, as my wife said a few minutes ago, some of them there when he was shipwrecked and he got out there and was picking up wood to build a fire with where they could warm, and a serpent latched on to him and he shook him off. Some of them people thought he was a god because he didn't fall down dead. But he was there, persecuted many times, put in jail, and stoned, and many things. He was given unto a thorn in the flesh to buffet him, except he be exalted above measure. My friend, a lot of these preachers today is exalting themselves above measure, as if they are something great. My friend, the only greatest thing about me is my Lord and Savior. I'm just a man, a human being, was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and only by the grace of God I am that I am. And if I be anything, it'll be by the grace of God and no other way that any other man's going to make it. Or they may go to school and so-and-so may teach them his ways of doing things, and they may learn it right down to the nitty-gritty, as the old saying goes. And Brother McGee used to say, when the rubber hits the road, it tells a different story. My friend, it's come to the place that we're in that we need to realize that Jesus Christ is our only hope. Paul had hope in what he knew, what he had, in the hope that his education would bring him, his wealth and everything. And he prospered in the Jewish teachings and everything of the Pharisees. But when he found out that all this was futile, until he found out the grace of God through the teaching that the Spirit of God had told him in the desert place there, wherein that he went and received all of the gospel that he preached by the revelation of Jesus Christ, not from some man, some school teacher somewhere or another. I've heard somebody, school of prophets, and taught them, and this man come up there and said it was going to take God 7 times to get the church off the earth. And that was from the school of prophets. And some of these other teaching them how to talk the gold out of your teeth or the money out of your wallet, and that's about all they're doing. My friend, it's come to the place to wherein salvation come through Jesus Christ when he died for yours and my sins, and he come into this world knowingly, him being God in the flesh, knowingly that it had to be that way, for without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. So we got to realize that Jesus came into this world knowingly what had to be done, and he done it willingly that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. Because you ain't got a Cadillac in the yard, don't eat steak 4 or 5 times a day or whatever that you think is an abundant life. My friend, I'm looking for that abundant life is to end the kingdom of God where everything will be peace, joy forevermore. I'm persuaded to believe that's the abundant life he was speaking about. Not of the riches and the thing, the glit and the glamour of Hollywood and so on and so forth and all these things. You find out that they got it, but have they got it? They've got their wealth, they've got the riches, but then they've been caught with different things of sin, adultery and murder and one thing or another, and they just just think they can get by. You got your football stars and one thing or another going around insulting women and one thing or another and thinking that they can do it all and get by with it. We find that these things are all before us if we just take time to understand that if a person lives a godly life, he's going to be persecuted. But the thing of it is that Jesus was accused and many of the other apostles was accused, but they were falsely accused. You or I may be accused, but that doesn't necessarily mean that God has turned his back on us or that we're guilty. When the time comes to stand before the righteous judge, and all these things that the world may have judged you and I for, or whomever, will not amount to nothing. It's what the last thing that Jesus says when they stand before him in judgment, enter in or depart. That's going to be the main part. As you can hear him say, enter in, you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. If he says depart, you're going to be headlong into hell. My friend, plain and simple. That's Bible teaching. Paul taught this and the other apostles taught it. And as my wife was saying, if Paul could come on the scene today, and how many of the churches would have him for a revival? John the Baptist came into the world. How many of these denominational churches would listen to him? Any of the other apostles, how much they would try to find some fault that they could reasonably give the reason why come that they wouldn't have him there. They didn't want him, but they just plain just didn't like him. Well, that's the majority of the world today. If you don't like something, you ain't going to have it. Well, they didn't like Jesus because they looked for him. They looked for him to come and may be a king that when they was the prophet spoke about him, that he would come as a child and he would come to save his people. He would be how he would be born and everything. But they looked for him to come and bring and make up an army as a king of kings and an army to dispel the Roman nation there and make them slaves to them. But because he come teaching loving even to your enemies, they despised him. And finally, they brought forth that which was to be done, the fulfillment of God's word, hollering, crucify him, away with him. We only have Julius Caesar was the king at that time. He's our king. We don't want him for a king. Julius is our king. Caesar, our king. Well, my friend, they found out that the real king, one day they're going to face him and they're going to see the nail scars in him and the side piercing there. And they're going to cry out and they're going to say and say, who and how did you get these scars in the wound? He said, in the house of my friend. Many preachers, many Christian, real genuine, have been offended by their friends. My friend, it's time that we realize that just they say you're a friend, but then they do other things it doesn't prove to be. So be aware of them that comes bearing gifts, as the scripture says. And they come there and making big stories about you and everything, because somewhere down the line, it may come to be just a front. And nothing there considered to be a love as a friend should love, as a brotherly love should love, as Jesus taught, that we should love one another. He loved us enough, he died for us. The apostles loved the God of creation enough that they died for his namesake, like Paul. Paul was a man there that went about persecuting the church, but when it come right down to it, when he was on the road to Damascus and converted, he became a different person. And the Jews that thought he was so much for them and everything sought to kill him. If you read the story of Paul in the book of Acts and there, how he was converted and how that he come forth. If you read in chapter 26 of the book of Acts and how he stood before Agrippa and how Agrippa told him, he said, Paul, you're mad. So much learning, you're mad. Paul said, I'm not mad. But he told, then he got later says, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul went to and said, not just almost, but fully persuade. My friend, there's been many people that today almost will not get you into the kingdom of God. You can come short that almost you entered in, but you fell short. There's no time to be looking to the material things of this world to save your soul. It never was, it never intended to be, and never could be. You got to look to the source, Jesus Christ, the man called Jesus that died on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago, gave that atoning price, his life, his blood, for your sins and my sins. That's the only way we're going to come to the knowledge of the grace of God through Jesus Christ, through the teaching of the Word of God. When Paul goes on to tell them there, when he told there, Agrippa there in the 25th verse of the 26th chapter of Acts, he says, "But he said unto him, I am not mad, noble Festus, but speak forth the word of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth these things, before whom also I freely speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou that the prophets, I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether as much as I am, except these bonds. Paul was in chains there. He was being judged by them, of his peers, as they called him. But he was in bondage. And therefore, when he said, I'll plead to Caesar, I'll plead my case before Caesar, and they sent him there. Paul was destined to go to Rome, because God told him he was going to send him to Rome. Told him the many things that he would suffer for his name's sake. And these things befell on Paul. He had the thorn in his flesh, his eyes was bad, and he had many perils that he went through, shipwrecked, beaten, and left for dead, stoned, and these things, and all, and nothing persuaded him to change his mind or his attitude before God. He was sought after by his peers, his people there to kill him and stone him and all these things that he went through, but he kept his integrity with God. Even to him and Silas was thrown in jail, beaten and thrown in jail, and the jailer was given the authority to hold them fast. He put them in jail, and locked them in the stocks. My friend, they just had a field day with Paul and Silas, but on the midnight hour, Paul wasn't saying to Silas, "Oh, he hit me more than he did you," or Silas didn't say, "No, I believe he hit me more," or this or that. But they went to singing the psalms and praying and seeking God and singing songs unto the glory of God. And their earthquake came and shook them loose from the stocks. The doors flew open and the jailer was fixing to kill himself because he thought they'd all fled. But Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." And he brought them in that hour and bathed their stripes and brought them and fed them. And that time that the jailer and his household became Christians, believing upon the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth, accepting the atoning price that he paid that they would have salvation. And they accepted the grace of God through what they had seen. My friend, many people have seen today. Israel had seen many miracles, but they turned against. But it was in God's plan to bring you and I as Gentiles in. He had to break them off that we could be grafted in. But don't think you got a monopoly on it, that because it'd be much easier to graft the natural back than it was to graft the wild in. My friend, don't think that you got it above the Jewish people and that you're a head honcho or something or other, because you can be broken off also. God set them aside for the period to bring us in. And when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled and the Jewish people are going to come back, and I believe that time is right close to at hand. They've already come back there. Ezekiel prophesied to the valley of dead bones, and the whole house of Israel stood up, and he said he was going to, and the Bible speaks about that he was going to bring them out of every nation and bring them back to their own land that he had gave to them. And they are there, my friend. So look at the word of God. See that the events that are happening. Believe that these things were over when they were spoken about long ago, being fulfilled in the sight of you and I today, and in the hearing of our ears, if you would believe and accept the God's infallible word that is being truth, and quit listening to this false teachings and everything and saying this and that, and about they trying to say the time that Jesus is going to come, and they predicted that it's going to happen, that that was going to happen, and it hasn't happened. Believe the word of God, my friend. Read your Bible. Find out what God has to say. And he had the men of old to write by his spirit there to tell you and I of the things that would be and should be, and give us a roadmap to glory. If we follow the roadmap to go from here to Timbuktu, if you get off of the beaten trail, you're going to get lost. And if you follow the roadmap and you go by the directions that it gives you, you can end up at the destination that you left out to go to. Honey, I drove a truck across this United States many years, and I always followed the map, and it always got me to where I needed to go and everything. But if I'd have thrown the map and said I'll go my own way, God only knows where I'd have wound up at. I probably wouldn't have made it to where I needed to go in the time I needed to be there. And there I would have been lost out. Well, a lot of people is going to be lost out simply because they won't go by the roadmap and the decisions that God has made to give to us the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But yet many of them are trying to get there by false teachings, by some other means, and some other man telling them, I'm the Father. Ain't no man on the earth the father of the nations. Bible speaks about call no man on earth father, but yet and still there's some that do. My friend, it's come time that we need to read the Bible and find out what God has to say about these things. Paul didn't learn it by from Camilla about the things that were in that was taught by him by the grace of God out there in the wilderness. He came to know it by the revelation of Jesus Christ as he spoke to him there in Galatians there. If you'd read it, find out what Paul has to say about this. You read the whole New Testament, mostly was wrote by Paul. Romans, it tells us about all of this stuff that is happening now, men with men and women with women. It was done in Sodom and Gomorrah back in the that time. My friend, it's come to the place to worry in that the gospel has been diluted and polluted by man's ways and traditions and everything, and the true gospel has been put aside. And it's because of people that don't want to hear the truth. The Pharisees didn't want to hear it. They thought that they were so great and they was pious, standing there in their long robes and all of their glit and glamour of the way that they dressed and everything. And Jesus told them, he said, well, you go out into the graveyard, in other words, in my words, you go out into the graveyard and you see these sepulchres there and you whitewash them and make them look all shiny and white and everything. But inside, there's dead man's bones. That's what he told that bunch of Pharisees in there. And they, hey, they didn't want to hear that. But he told them the truth. They were dead in their sins and trespasses, so it was like dead man's bones being dressed up to look like that they were something special. And a lot of these others around today is doing the same thing. If you don't believe what they want you to hear and do what they tell you to do, you're no good. But that's all right, too, because God's going to make the final decision regardless of what man says. God is going to be the one that's going to make the final decision. And that's who I'm trying to please, not man. Paul didn't try to please man. He didn't preach it to please the man or make it sound good to them, where he could get to gain the popularity and all the wealth that some of them has gotten today and everything, because that they teach something different from what the word of God. Many of them today is wealthy and rich, got money stacked by, but yet they want more, but they do nothing for them that needs. So where is it all coming from? They've been deceived by their own greed, the lust of the flesh, and they want more than they need. Well, God said he'd supply my needs, and he's done that. All the wants and everything, few things I used to want, but I never got, but I found out that God's met my needs, so that's more than worth more than what I wanted. You get right down to the good nitty gritty of it. God is sovereignty, and he wants us to believe and trust in him. If we believe in him and the sacrifice that he made, if it required to bankrupt heaven to supply the need of one of his little ones, he would do that. But I'm not concerned about him bankrupting heaven, because he owns it all. He owns all the gold and the silver, the cattle on the hill, and even the hill the cattle stands on. You see, because he created it from the beginning. It was his, and he made man a steward over what he had created, and man has miserably failed. He wants it all for himself and thinks that he is such a great thing, and many have failed by the wayside because they've got to where that they thought they were something that they weren't. Some of these here sports people have come to think that they are great and they can do whatever they want to and they can get by. Well, you found that some of them been caught with the hand in the cookie jar and got flunked by it. They won't stand for the anthem. They want to do this. They think that they're above anything, that they should be recognized above and beyond. We even had preachers to be caught molesting children. And all these things. My friend, it's come time that we need to read the Word of God and find out what God has to say about all of these things that are happening over the world today, and that people are got to be so involved into it because that they do not believe the full report that God gives. They have not become fully pledged Christians. And if they were fully pledged Christians, they wouldn't be out seeking after things. But the devil sitting on the shoulder whispering, "Well, you so good in the sight of men, you can do this and get by." Evidently, that's what it seems to be. And they'll try it, and then they get caught, and then they want to cry. My friend, it's come time that we need to understand God's word is going to be fulfilled whether you or I like it or not. It's not going to change a bit. It's going to be done according to God's will, and he's going to be the final judge over all these things. And when it comes to the place to where in that we think that we're something, we're going to find out that we're nothing. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and the only hope we have is in Christ Jesus. He's the supreme. He is the only one that can save you from your sins. He died to purchase you from the destination of hell. Hell was enlarged and has been enlarged for them that it received, but it wasn't made for man. It was made for the devil and his angel. But many men want to go there, so it had to enlarge itself in order to accommodate them. My friend, I've been asked what denomination or what this I belong to. The church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's what I belong to. That's what I hope you belong to, because that's the only real church there is that we're in, that we've been born into it. You don't go put your name on the roster, go to their organization and learn how to do their little thing and everything. Paul didn't go to them to learn to preach the gospel. He went out there and learned it firsthand from the grace of God, from Jesus Christ that we've taught. And he suffered much because he stood for the gospel. not for what man had to say or what man taught him to do, but for the grace of the living God. He was persecuted, downtrodden, thrown in jail, shipwrecked, and many other things he suffered because he stood firm on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he made note that I am not ashamed of this gospel of Christ because it's power unto salvation from God. My friend, it's come to the time you got to make a stand. You either stand for something or fall for anything. My Lord, it's time we stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, not fall headlong into the pits of hell where you're not invited. You go there as an intruder. You need to understand that God has provided a way of eternal life for you. But it's up to you and I. When he told Adam in the Garden of Eden not to eat of the forbidden fruit, but the tree of life was there, he could eat of it and live forever. But when he chose to eat of the forbidden fruit, it brought a disobedience there, and he was drove out unless then he went and eat of the tree of life and lived forever in his sin. There would have been no remission. Nothing could have been done. But he drove him out to keep him from it, to wherein that he could bring forth salvation unto them. You see, Adam was the first man God put on the earth. He gave him the authority over all things, but yet and still, some idiots come up and say that the angels taught him about what to call the animals and everything, and that's what he called them. But that was not what it was. God wanted to know what Adam called them, and whatever he called them, that's what they named. And that's the way it is this same day. It's not changed a bit. God doesn't change, friend. It's man that does the changing. Man does the discriminating against God's word and try to make it something that it's not and try to bring it forth as a fair speech and a smooth tongue to wherein that he can deceive people. The devil transformed himself into a minister of light, or angel of light, to worry in that he can deceive people. And he says that he comes with their sheep clothing, but inward is a raving wolf. Take a chance on believing God. Let God reveal to you the things that which is truth in the word of God. Bring it forth and let God teach you and bring you forth. Not because some man claims that he has all the answers. No man has all the answers, my friend. No man that walks in a pair of shoes can tell you everything that you need to know, including all the gospel. I don't know it all. Don't claim to know it all. But what God has revealed to me, as I've told some of my other people, that what God revealed to me out of his scriptures and confirmed in my heart by his spirit, there's not enough of devils in hell to change my mind. So I'm fully persuaded that God was manifested in the flesh, came into this world as a man called Jesus, the Son of the living God, which in that by he come to do the thing that which in he was sent to do, to die for yours and my sin, that we would not have to spend eternity in lost without any hope. He came to bring forth, because the blood of the animals couldn't save us from our sin, but that precious blood of Jesus, hallelujah, that precious blood of Jesus, that the only atoning price, and wherein that he purchased us with his own blood. Why, I say that I belong to the church of the living God, that he purchased with his own blood there. And he saved me by his grace through faith in the precious blood of Jesus. Am I saved? Not of any works of my own, not of any wealth that I may have or did have or didn't have or anything that I could have done of myself. It was all done through Jesus Christ at Calvary. He's the one that paid the price, not me, not you. You can't and I can't. You got to go to Calvary for yourself. You got to accept the price that he paid for your sins and my sins. I cannot repent for you, nor neither can you repent for me. No man can tell you and stand there and say, raise your hand and repeat after me, the sinner's prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my life, and you walk in the same old road you've been walking to, and then you can say, I'm saved and I'm on the way to glory. I don't think so, my friend. I don't think so. That's a lie the devil hatched out of hell, and many people have fallen for. The Bible speaks about the false prophets and speaks about them coming and saying this and saying that, but they have got no basics for it. My friend, when it comes to repentance, you got to do that for yourself and do it according to the way that God would have you to do. With a broken heart and a contrite spirit, weeping your way into salvation, asking God to forgive you. Excuse me. We got to understand that we are living in perilous times. My friend, don't be listening to every wind of doctrine that comes down the road. Listen to the scriptures. Listen to them that will bring forth the gospel. Paul preached the gospel to the Gentiles. Many people today think that they are free from all things because so-and-so said this or so-and-so said that. TV preachers this and TV preachers that. Some people won't even go to the place of worship together, and they forsake the assembling together, and they watch the TV instead of going. They'll go to the ball games, and so thousands of them, that they won't go around the corner to church. They'll fight the blizzard weather to watch a football game, sit there shiver and shake in the cold and the icy and the rain and everything to watch them kick that ball around or whatever, and won't go sit in a comfortable place and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's getting to be ridiculous, my friend. It's a shame. But the thing of it is, one day they're going to come to the place to wherein they're going to have to give an account. And when that account has not been settled by the blood of Jesus, and their sins have come before them there, and they brought forth the book, and they were looked and judged in the book, Word of God, and then another book was wrote there, and it was opened up, and their name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're going to hear him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, that I never knew you. So now we got to understand that we got the chance while we still live to accept Jesus Christ and him crucified for our sins and our salvation. Only comes through him. It's up to you and I, friend. I see our time is pretty close to gone, and we just pray that God will bless you. I hope I've said something other to encourage you to look up, look to Jesus for your salvation, not to any man, because man can't save you. Only one can save you. Jesus is the mediator between you and I and God. Not Mary, not the Pope, not me. Not some other preacher, but Jesus himself is like a lawyer stands up before the judge and pleads your case. Jesus is standing before our Heavenly Father pleading our case before him. And I give him praise and glory. That's the only way we're going to make it, friend. If you've got all plans for something else, you better search the scriptures and find out what you need to do. And go by what the scripture says and not by what they claim that they can do for you. See, our time is gone, and we trust that God will bless you and keep you and give you an understanding. They're to give you desire to seek after the kingdom of God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. That you will find that Jesus is, was, and always will be our only hope for salvation. And to enter into the kingdom of God through the street door. May God bless you and keep you in our prayers. You pray one for another, and God bless you as we pray one for another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning. And you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus. To get down on your knees and pray. way. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometimes you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, He didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.